Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Varel, coast to coast.
Well, Carver High, I mean, I literally went off again in college football. I got to tell you, I watched that Indiana game, right? I was watching Oklahoma. It got so bad. I was on with Joe Ranieri, in-game live all access, which we do every Saturday. And I'm watching a game, and it was so bad and so boring. I flipped to that Indiana game, right? So I got the Hoosiers on, and they are getting their ass handed to them by Western Kentucky the entire game. They had no business winning that game, but I did hit it. I had Indiana to win in the Hilltoppers plus 6.5. It ended, I think, 33-30 or something like that in overtime, right? That game was crazy.
Yep, the Hoosiers come back and get the overtime win, 33-30. Nice job by them there. Cincinnati beat Miami of Ohio 38-17. How about Syracuse and Purdue, Scotty? Low-scoring affair through three quarters. There was nothing going on in this game. And then both teams explode for points. And Syracuse, lucky for them, had the ball last. And believe it or not, a 3-0 Syracuse football team after this on Cuse Radio.
You get catch it inbounds. You can get down and call timeout. Trader to throw. Maybe discarding. No, going to Gadsden. Corner of the end zone. He's got it for a lead-taking touchdown, Orange! What a throw! Right on the money! Schrader took one in the mouth again, and Gadsden was there for an incredible score! A corner round to the pylon! Schrader got crushed!
Yeah, I mean, they got really lucky. I'll give them credit. Yeah. They won it. I still don't think they're good.
How about Syracuse, Kansas, and Duke? All 3-0, Scotty. As we sit here 3 weeks.
I think Kansas is better than both of them.
Kansas, real good football team. They won real good, but a lot better than, you know what? Listen. When you win one game, when you win one game for 15 years in a row and you start 3-0, that's pretty damn good. And Kansas won at Houston on Saturday.
I mean, fair enough, but here's the point. They were down two touchdowns to West Virginia in Morgantown, and they blew them out. And then they were down in this game by two touchdowns, and they blew them out. Kansas gets better as the game goes on, and after halftime, they just rake. I am done betting against the Kansas Jayhawks. 2 weeks in a row, I got stung by them.
3-0 Duke at 3-0 Kansas this Saturday, Scotty. Who would have thought it? In college football, big scene in Lawrence this week. You already talked earlier about Pat Fitzgerald, embarrassing loss at home to Southern Illinois, 31-24. You just cannot have that. Baylor won big. Kentucky won big. Michigan won huge over UConn. They covered that fat number, Scotty.
Yeah,
59
they did.
Zip. They beat the Huskies. Georgia covered the big number against South Carolina. Notre Dame finally won a game. I mean, geez. I mean, finally.
I got them in game.
They
got
tried
them in
losing.
Game when they were losing, and they won. Thank God.
Man, I might be right. They might not win six or seven games this year. They are tough to watch. UCLA survived at home against South Alabama, 32-31. They needed a last-second field goal to win that game. Did you like the Troy Aikman tweet afterwards, Scotty, calling the home crowd embarrassing, and that the school should build a 30,000-seat stadium on campus and stop playing at the Rose Bowl? UCLA.
So I was on the air, right? And Mr. Freeze, my producer, says to me, look at the picture I sent you. He sent me a picture of the Rose Bowl. There wasn't 500 people at that game.
Awful. Absolutely embarrassing. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Monday. Sirius XM 159 Sports Map Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. Iowa State, beat Ohio 43-10. Rutgers struggled against Temple, but they did win 16-14. UNLV won big. Appalachian State, Scotty, beats Troy 32-28. And how did they do it? The last second Hail Mary on the Appalachian State Radio Network, Scotty. Hold your ears.
See how many Troy rushes here. They have everybody back to try to knock one down. Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggle.
How these guys
miracle
doing?
Part two. It's miracle part two.
What a play!
Deflected back into the arms of Christian Horde. Storm the field. App State wins on Miracle on the Mountain, part two. Final score, App State 32, Troy 28. It is great to be a Mountaineer. Woo!
And those two ended up making love all night. I mean, what was going on there? Those two ended up lovers for sure. But they were stepping all over each other. It was a disaster. But how about game day was in Boone, and then they pulled that off?
Yeah. Unbelievable Saturday down there. So they beat Texas A&M the week before that. Then they get the Hail Mary. And when you give up the Hail Mary at the 5-yard line and you still let them score, Scotty, that's embarrassing by Troy.
They should have beat North Carolina too, lost 63-61.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I had some really big bets on Saturday, Carver High, on PharrellOnTheBench.com. The biggest was, and we were on in-game live all access when it happened, LSU, we were selling, Joe and I, on that game against Mississippi State. Like, the whole world was betting on Mississippi State. You heard Jason Scott earlier that LSU made him a fortune because everybody and her brother bet on Mike Leach's air raid offense. And they were up 13-0, and LSU still beat their ass. I think they outscored them in the fourth, 21-0.
They certainly did. Huge fourth quarter for LSU. They get it done at home. Baton Rouge against Leach, 31-16. Good win for Brian Kelly. Washington State beat Colorado State and the cover, 38-7. Wake Forest had to hang on, Scotty, to beat Liberty, 37-36. I believe Liberty went for two at the end and missed it. Liberty actually had a chance to tie that game, went for the win, didn't get it. So Wake Forest stays undefeated there. Yes, Liberty, a good squad too. Kansas, we talked about, beating Houston 48-30. They start the season 3-0, already over, Scotty, their preseason win total. It was 2.5. They hit it in September. Nice job by the Jayhawks. What an embarrassing performance by Auburn on Saturday, Scotty. Yeah. Letting Penn State come into Jordan-Hare and just run all over them. That was very impressive for James Franklin and Penn State.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Penn State came alive on Saturday down there. They mean business as much as Ohio State and Michigan do in the Big Ten all of a sudden. I got to tell you, like, on my set, I put up the three that burned me on the day. I hit 7 of the 10. And the three that burned me were the Liberty game, and I had bet on them the week before against UAB and hit. Then I went against them, and Wake won but didn't cover. Then I told you already I got burned on Kansas as Houston got their ass beat. They beat Houston so badly that Houston players were fist fighting on the sideline.
Nice.
And the third game that burned me was Northwestern. I was laying 14. And SIU beat them outright. And I knew the entire day I was on with Joe that they were going to lose based on they just couldn't get rid of SIU. I mean, it was like they score and then SIU score. They score and then SIU score. And then finally, when they did the Indy 500, once they passed them and got the lead, they never looked back and beat them. I hit everything else. I mean, I hit every other game that I put up. Those were the three games that burned me.
Late night on Saturday down at College Station, Scotty, Texas A&M, good bounce back for them. They had the U in town, was a low-scoring defensive battle. They only needed one touchdown in the second half to pull away. Here it is on ESPN.
Smith goes in motion. Johnson looks for A-Chain out of the backfield, breaks a tackle. Devon A-Chain, still running, he'll score.
It's just an absolutely brutal place to play and win. We both said going in they're going to lose at Kyle Field. That's all there is. It's the same thing. I bet on Washington at Husky Stadium. I bet on Oregon at Outzen Stadium. And I'm just looking for the other one in terms of it's just impossible to beat them there. It was LSU in Death Valley. And the fourth one was Utah's not losing to San Diego State at Rice-Eccles. Yeah. I mean, they got chicks showing up there topless to the games. You're not losing there.
No, you are not losing there. You mentioned Oregon. Good win for them, 41-20. They
killed
beat
them.
BYU. They destroyed them. I mean, that score does not
great.
Indicate. Yeah, that score does not indicate how much of a beatdown that was for Oregon in that game. Alabama covered the fat number against ULM, 63-7. Easy cover for Bama. NC State beat Texas Tech 27-14. Also got by that 10.5 that they were laying there. The Huskies and Michael Penix on Saturday night, Scotty, took it to Michigan State up in Seattle, 39-28. They were winners. Took Iowa into the middle of the night after all the lightning delays, but they finally beat Nevada 27-0. Cover for them, first time they actually scored points this season. USC late night beat Fresno, and Eastern Michigan upset Arizona State late night on Saturday, Scotty, and that got Herm Edwards sent out the door on Sunday morning. He is out as the Sun Devil head coach.
Yeah, you know, it never worked in Tempe with all the pros and all the former players coaching on that staff, and they cheated. The entire time they were there, Herm Edwards and that crew are being investigated for all kinds of NCAA violations. So between that and losing that game to Eastern Michigan, see ya.
See you later. So there you go. The weekend in college football, Scotty. Great stuff all around. Tomorrow I will give you new top 25, updated odds, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll start to look at this week's big games in college football. So we'll have all that tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Lots of baseball from the weekend as well. We only have 2.5 weeks left, Scotty, in the regular season. Started off as a very tough weekend in Milwaukee for the Yankees. They lost Friday night after blowing a 5-0 lead. They lost Saturday, could never get anything going. But who's always there to pick them up when they need it, Scotty?
All right.
Aaron Judge, 58-59 on Sunday on the YES Network.
High fly ball, right field. There it goes. See ya. Number 58. He's three away from Roger Maris. And the pitch. Deep to left. There it goes. He's one away from Ruth. Home run number 59 for Aaron Judge. And it's 10-4 Yankees. Unbelievable.
I mean, he's going to hit 65, 66. Forget about 62. I mean, this guy's hitting. Last week he had two twice.
He had two twice. He's got 11 multi-home run games this season. That is tied for the most all-time. 11 multi-home run games. He sits at 59 heading into this week. And a homestand for the Yankees, of course. They have two with the Pirates, four with the Red Sox this week. I already saw, you heard Kay there, of course, on the YES Network, Scotty. Call the home runs. Kay's nervous. He's not going to get to call 61. Yankees play nationally televised games on Thursday and Friday night at home, which of course means no local broadcasters. So it could be a nobody calling the big number for Judge on the television side if he gets hot this week on Thursday and Friday night. What a shame that will be. Yankees also got an MRI from Montas. Let's just put it like this. He sucks, Scotty. Frankie Montas. That was just another, unfortunately, a bad move for Cashman.
Yeah, and it was a bad move because they already knew, everyone knew that he had a bad shoulder this year, right? And now he's pitching with a bad shoulder. Thus, now you have an excuse for why he sucks, but you still went and traded for him at the deadline. And they gave up, you know, J.P. Sears, who's been great for them, and he's a young arm. This guy's older and has a bad shoulder, and you gave up one of your good young pitchers for that guy. It is as bad a move as the Montgomery move. Brian Cashman has lost his marbles in New York this year. He's been an atrocity.
He's done a bad job this year. And hey, Bader's might be coming back this week for the Yankees, who of course they got in the Montgomery
deal. Who cares?
Haven't seen him yet.
The guy shows up for the last 10 games.
Shows up.
Whatever.
And maybe makes a contribution. The White Sox beat the Tigers 11-5. Rays beat the Rangers 5-3. Braves beat the Phillies 5-2. Phillies could get Zach Wheeler back on Wednesday, Scotty. Sounds like he's going to start the game. How about Ozzie Albies? Braves get him. He was out for months. Comes back on the IL. One game. Breaks his pinky first game back. Goes back on the IL. They win anyway, though. Doesn't matter if he plays or not, Scotty.
I mean, that guy, it's like he hasn't played in 2 years.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver, can you imagine how many people in the Bills Mafia I could get to download the BetMGM app tonight if I was at that tailgate right now? If I told them they could get a risk-free bet for the game tonight of up to $1,000 if they just use the bonus code COAST2COAST. COAST, the number 2, COAST. COAST2COAST, that's all you got to use to get that risk-free bet up to a grand. On BetMGM, get the app now. What are you waiting for? I bet I could get 95% of the tailgaters to sign up.
I think you could, too, especially in the state that some of them are going to be in right now. They're just going to be ready to go. I mean, Josh Allen anytime, Diggs anytime. I mean, they're ready to rock with whatever you want. They could use that risk-free on all that action tonight and make it happen, that's for sure. Let's finish up the baseball here. Orioles beat the Jays 5-4. They turned a triple play in that game, by the way. Twins beat the Guardians. We talked about that earlier. They beat them again today. 4 out of 5. We'll take a look at the standings in a moment, but the Twins are finished. Mets beat the Pirates 7-3. They swept all 4 games. Reds beat up the Cardinals 3-0. They actually beat the Cardinals a bunch of times this past weekend. Pujols did hit a homer, Scotty, over the weekend. Isn't he what, two-way now, is Pujols?
Two-way.
Two-way from 700. So let's go. We've got ourselves 2.5 weeks to finish that off. Angels beat the Mariners 5-1 yesterday. Mariners put Eugenio Suarez on the IL with a fractured finger. Padres beat the Diamondbacks 6-1. How about a Manny Machado just for fun, Scotty, on Bally Sports San Diego?
All right.
Right.
Driven to deep left field. Back goes Carroll at the wall. It's gone. Manny Machado, it's a 2-run home run off Nelson. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead. Home run number 29 of the year for Manny Machado.
There you go.
Here's another guy that's going to hit 35 home runs, you know, every year. Just the same old thing. I always tell you, he's earned every penny. That guy's earned his pay every day, every year, since they gave him all that money. He's the only guy that has lived up to the fat deal in San Diego.
Certainly is. And the Dodgers beat the Giants 4-3 in 10 innings last night. They have now won like 101 games. They are just absolutely cruising. October's the next stop for when we care about the Dodgers again. Speaking of the Giants, though, Scotty, they did lose their general manager today. The Tigers are hiring San Francisco Giants GM Scott Harris as their new president of baseball operations. Harris's rise in the industry has been meteoric, according to Jeff Passan of ESPN. So the Tigers pluck the Giants GM away to be their new president of baseball operations. Good luck in Detroit, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's the end of him being meteoric, okay? He's going to do what? Make the Tigers good again? Good luck.
Well,
good luck with that. I mean, honestly, he should have stayed in San Francisco. He's going to find out the hard way about the Motor City.
He is going to find out.
That ain't no sunshine place to live, baby. Believe me, you're going to miss San Francisco. Ghirardelli Square, it ain't got one of those.
That's why he's getting paid the big bucks out in Detroit to try and turn the franchise.
I hope he gets a 9 Glock for his car, too.
Let's look at the standings on a Monday for the ones that matter. 2.5 weeks left to go. Every team between 15 and 17 or 18 games left to play at this point, Scotty. The Yankees now have a 5.5 game lead on the Blue Jays in the AL East. The Rays, a 6-game lead. More importantly for the Jays, 6 in the loss column, Scotty. So despite losing 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee, Yankees in good shape with the Pirates and the Red Sox coming to town this week.
And they're going to get a bye. That's what's going to happen. They're going to win the East, and they're going to get a bye. And then they're not going to have to worry about anything. Eventually, they'll lose in the playoffs.
Eventually, they will lose. You're absolutely right about that. But that bye is going to be very important. In the Central, the Guardians now have control after the big weekend against the Twins. In fact, because they won this afternoon, Scotty, it's now a full 4 games on the White Sox and now 7 games on the Twins. So that's the update there from that game
it's
being
over.
Done this afternoon.
It's over.
I think so, too. I think that the Guardians are going to get that AL Central title, and they will play whoever gets the third wild card in the American League, which right now is the Seattle Mariners. Mariners are
Cleveland's going to play. Cleveland's going to play Seattle, and Seattle's going to beat them.
I agree with you. And then the winner of that series would play the Yankees in the divisional round.
And then they'll beat the Yankees.
So the Jays and the Rays would play each other.
Can you imagine
hard weekend right now?
How bad it's going to be when the Yankees have to fly to Seattle to lose every single game they play there.
And against the guy that they should have traded for, Castillo, instead of Montas. They should have traded for
Christ.
Castillo. Missed out on him. And
my shoulder, Carver High, is getting numb again.
All right.
A lot of shoulder.
National League East. Now, the Braves actually have to play 2 more games than the Mets, Scotty. The Mets have 93 wins. Braves have 91. They both have 55 losses. So the Mets have a couple more days off than the Braves over these next 2.5 weeks. 1 game is the number right now. This is very important. This is the difference, like we just talked about with the Yankees. Having the bye in that first round or having to play somebody in a 3-game wild card series. It's important between the Mets and the Braves.
I mean, there's no doubt. And I got to tell you, I know you're going to get into the games tonight, but Scherzer's back.
Yes.
And to me, it's one at a time at this point. When you got a 1-game lead, every game is crucial. I like them tonight in Milwaukee.
We are going to talk about that in a moment. Speaking of Milwaukee, last standings I'm going to show you is the NL wild card, where Milwaukee is really the last team, Scotty, that has a chance to
They're
get
alive.
Into the playoffs here. They are now 2 games back of the Phillies, 2.5 games back of the Padres. So the Braves are in, we know that. But Padres, Phillies, and Brewers, Scotty, one of those three teams will be on the outside looking in 2.5 weeks.
And I got to tell you, the Brewers, you know, like they took 2 or 3 from the Yankees. They've been playing really well over the last, like, 3 weeks. If you look at their, you know, results, they've been, you know, winning 2 of every 3, whatever it is. They are alive. They are a definitely a live bet as well to do it. I mean, they're in it for sure. We've seen the Padres choke last year. We'll see if they can handle their business. All three of those are going to be interesting. And the Braves, Mets, that's all there is left. The Orioles are finished. The AL
finished.
Has been decided. The AL's done.
Yes. The AL, I think we know who the teams are going to be. The six teams that are going to make the playoffs in the AL, it's been decided. The positioning in that AL wild card, who's going to play who's going to host who, that still is up for grabs. But in terms of who's going to be in, I am with you. All right, tonight, let's get into it. We do have a few games on the docket for a Monday night. The Cubs are South Beach style tonight, Scotty, against the Marlins. Wade Miley against Edward Cabrera. The Fish, minus 135 now. They are favorites in this one. Minus 145 it's gone to. Plus 120 for the Cubbies. Flat 7 the total.
Yeah, I laid it with the Marlins at minus $1.40.
Two teams that could see each other in a couple of weeks in a potential playoff matchup. Houston at the Trop to take on the Rays. Rasmussen against Garcia tonight. Minus 125 for the Rays now. Total of flat 7.
Well, the Astros are getting a bye, so they're not going to see them for a while in the playoffs, at the very least. Tampa's going to have to play playoff games from the jump. But I got to tell you what, I love that game tonight. I actually like the Astros and Garcia in Tampa, and I got them at even money this morning. I like them.
Yeah. If Tampa can beat Toronto, if that ends up being the wild card round, winner would play Houston. So it could be down the road, those two squads. Detroit and Baltimore tonight. Ed Camden, Alexander, and Wells. Orioles are going to finish 500 this year, Scotty, or better, but they are out of the picture right now for the playoffs. Minus 200 and a flat 8.
Yeah, I'm on the Orioles tonight, automatic. The Tigers, no chance here. I don't like them the rest of the way, not once.
No, they're playing out the stretch. Kyle Wright goes for the Braves tonight. Every game crucial for them. They have the Nationals and Abbott in town. Minus 350 for the Braves, total of 8.
Yeah, I like the Braves, and I'm willing to lay the run and a half as well.
Mets get Scherzer back tonight. As you mentioned, how's this pitching matchup? Scherzer and Corbin Burns in Milwaukee. Brewers minus 115, Mets minus 105, 6.5 the total.
Yeah, I got them at even money this morning. I like Scherzer and the Mets to go into Milwaukee and beat them.
San Francisco's in Colorado. Junis against Chad. You're so cool. Rockies plus 105. Giants minus 125. 11 the total.
Yeah, I'm on you're so cool. How about $1.05 for him? I'm cool with them as well at home.
And finally, the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. Clayton Kershaw against Merrill Lynch Kelly. Dodgers minus 275. 7.5 is the total.
I'm on the Dodgers, automatic. I mean, I'm on them every night, basically.
And let me do this. We didn't have time for the boards today, but I wasn't going to leave you hanging, Scotty. Luis Garcia for the Astros, over 4.5, minus 140. Max Scherzer, over the 5.5, minus 160. Corbin Burns, same game, over the 6.5, minus 115. Merrill Lynch, Kelly's going to cash for us again, over 4.5, minus 165. Taters, Christian Walker, 7 for 25, 4 homers off of Kershaw, plus 450. Mookie Betts, 7 for 23, homers off of Kelly, plus 360. Jock Peterson goes yard at Coors, plus 200. Austin Riley against Abbott and the Nats, plus 260. Tater time tonight. Let's go.
I'm on every one of those bets. Let's go.
There you go.
We got Gopher to 2 coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always fun to have Gopher to 2 on. Our boy Joe Lisi, College Football Today, and Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio. You can catch him on Sirius XM 159 at night and many affiliates on Sports Map and Sports Byline across this great country and in Canada. Very popular. We always love talking college football with Joe. Good to see you, Joe. I want to start with these. Seriously, I had a huge day Saturday hitting winners. I've been talking to Carver High about it. I find a game like the three games that I really loved were dangerous plays for Michigan State to go to Husky Stadium. And then for Mississippi State going to Death Valley under the lights. That's a kiss of death. And then I thought BYU going to Outson was also, your girlfriend's fat, you're not beating us here. And I mean, I hit all three juicy. And then for good measure, I went late night with that 20 and a hook with Utah at Rice-Eccles with the topless student body. They don't wear clothes to the game. I took them and they rode San Diego State right out of there.
That's a trifecta in the daytime, and then you nailed the night game. Great picks all around. I mean, I agreed with you in terms of the Washington game. The one thing about Michigan State all last year in terms of the two losses against Purdue and Ohio State was that secondary was burned. They gave up well over 320 passing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. Michael Penix entering that matchup on Saturday was averaging 384 yards through the air. They jumped up early. They took the running game out for Michigan State, put all the pressure on Peyton Thorne, and they dominated from start to finish. We know Seattle is a very difficult place to play, so great pick there, Scotty. And Washington is a team that you have to keep an eye out on. As long as they play like that, they're going to be a tough out the rest of the way in terms of the Pac-12. They have a mobile quarterback in Michael Penix that could do it all, and he's completing 70% of his passes. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, if they could get to the Pac-12 championship, they're going to be a difficult out this season.
What did you think of the air raid offense problems in Baton Rouge against Kelly's defense? They got they were down 13 and then got all kinds of involved up front with those stops on fourth down because Leach was going for it twice early. When they stuffed him both times, I was like, I think they might be in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that now with Michigan State and the Bulldogs in terms of their passing attack when they go up against big physical defenses, especially very physical secondaries. We saw it the past couple of years with teams like Kentucky forcing turnovers and being opportunistic. And we saw Saturday night in Death Valley, that LSU defense entering that matchup was only giving up a 154 to opposing quarterbacks. They forced Will Rogers to methodically work down the field in the second half, got some quarterback pressures. But it was the running game at LSU that took over along with Jaden Daniels. They sustained drives, cut the deficit, and once they got the lead, Scott, it was lights out. That front seven took over. So we'll see how it plays out for Mike Leach the rest of the way. I still think they're a bowl team. I still think they could get to potentially 8 or maybe 9 wins, but I think that's the top in terms of their success in 2022.
We're talking to Joe Lisi, Gopher to Two. You can always enjoy Joe on Sports Grid TV with College Football Today and on the radio with Carver and Lisi. It doesn't get any better. I wanted to tell you about Bo Nix's day at Outson. My God, this guy absolutely went off against BYU throwing the football. They built a huge lead, and it was insurmountable. And I just think it's the first time I've actually seen that guy look good in a college football game. I never liked him at Auburn. I thought he was terrible. And it's the first time I ever saw him, and I thought to myself, well, maybe that guy does have a future at the next level. He looked like a kid that could get drafted on Saturday in Eugene.
Yeah, he looked confident. I think that's the biggest thing about Bo Nix, you know, the right scheme for his skill set. And we see it with Auburn, right? They got absolutely abused on Saturday by Penn State. The passing game was non-existent. Auburn's not a lethal passing attack, no matter who the head coach has been for the last decade, even with Gus Malzahn at the helm. So I agree with you in terms of Bo Nix. He got started fast, made plays outside the pocket, and that was a perfect spot, really, for Oregon, right? BYU gets the win a couple of weeks ago in terms of the double overtime, emotionally drained from the Baylor game. They came out, they looked flat, couldn't run the football consistently, and once they jumped up early, Oregon, it was basically Bo Nix's day, right? 4 touchdowns in the first 3 quarters, came on with about 8 minutes left to solidify that game. But I agree with you. As long as Bo Nix can roll outside the pocket and improvise, make plays in terms of the rollout, he's very successful. When you keep him contained in the pocket, force him to make his reads and progressions, that's where he struggles, especially in the game against Georgia in the second half. So we'll see how it plays out. I agree with you. He does have some upside the rest of the way.
So they play at Pullman this Saturday. How do you think they're going to do on the road against another tough team in the Cougars who are unbeaten?
Well, this has been the thing about Oregon, right? The consistency, win a big game and then follow it up with a tough road environment. You know, entering this year, we talked about it. They were just 10-15 on the road or on a neutral field site. The past 4 years, they lose week one to Georgia on a neutral site. This is another opportunity. I agree with you. I think if they run the football the way they did against BYU, they're going to win this ball game convincingly. Even though Washington State is good, especially in Pullman, and they've owned the series, especially since Mike Leach was there the past few years, they're going to obviously be lethal. But I like Oregon in this spot. The way Bo Nix played, especially in terms of converting third downs, I think they should win that matchup fairly easy by double digits Saturday night in Pullman.
So how about this one? The Gators seem to have come back down to earth. South Florida covered against them. They barely beat them. Now they got to go to Knoxville to take on a tough Vols team. One of my favorite bets of the year was taking the Vols, laying the 6 at Pittsburgh, and they win in overtime by a touchdown and cover the number by 1. I almost keeled over when they pulled that game out because they had no business covering in that game. How do you think the Vols handle the Gators in Knoxville?
Well, this is tough because Florida has owned the series, right? I mean, Tennessee has only beat them like one time over the past 16 matchups. So this is going to be tough in the sense of they're laying 9.5 points. I can't remember the last time Tennessee was a 9.5 point favorite in a rivalry game over Florida. Rarely happens. You might have to go back to the days even prior to Peyton Manning back in the day. And I don't even think that was the case in terms of how much they're laying in this matchup. Anthony Richardson looked like a deer in the headlights last week, struggled against South Florida, but 9.5 points to me is a lot in a rivalry game. If they bounce back in a big way and are able to run the football, they can move the football, I think, on the front 7 of Tennessee. We'll see how it plays out. But early lean, I lean to the Florida Gators to at least cover this number.
Joe, the Deacons struggled with Liberty, and they could have lost that game easily at the end. I got burned on that game Saturday, and I hit Liberty against UAB. Now Wake Forest has Dabo and company come calling to Winston-Salem. Do you think Clemson goes in there and beats them? If they can't handle Liberty, what are they going to do with Clemson?
Yeah, great point. Now, was it a potential look-ahead spot? I mean, they were laying 17.5. I was on Liberty as well, and they fell behind, right, 20-12, 20-13, and they battled back, had the third quarter lead, and then Hartman gets the victory in terms of holding them off Wake Forest on a two-point conversion. Last year, Clemson rushed for over 200 yards on that front 7 in Death Valley. They could not stop the run with Will Shipley. Now on the road, Clemson comes in. I'm still not sold on how they're playing, but they're still running the football a lot better than they were in terms of the week one matchup against Georgia Tech. If they could run the football on Wake Forest, I think they should cover the 7.5 point number. But you might look to Wake Forest in terms of a first half bet. They might play very tough in Winston-Salem in the first half of this ballgame.
I want to ask Carver High a question now. This may be off topic, but I got to ask him. Did you see Dabo running out of the tunnel down the hill to hit the rock? And he was going about 25 miles an hour. I was like, Jesus, look at Dabo, full sprint, blowing out everybody, outrunning the entire team. I thought he was going to tear a hammy, Carver High.
I thought he was trying to see if he still had some eligibility left the way that he was flying out of that tunnel. I mean, that was like a 4.940 that he ran blitzing through there. That was incredible.
All right, so let me look at some of these other games. Like Georgia's got a pancake. They're going to beat Kent State's ass. They're laying 44 in that game between the hedges. Baylor goes to Iowa State. Iowa State laying 2.5. Do you think, Joe, that
in Waco pulled that ball game up by 2 points, shut down Brock Purdy? But I lean to Iowa State in this ball game. I'm still not sold on Blake Shapen and this offense being the same as it was last year with Jerry Bohannon. I like Matt Campbell as an underdog, and Ames is a very difficult place to play. It's a tough line right now, 1.5, 2.5 right there. I still would take the underdog in the Cyclones in this ballgame.
How about the game in Lubbock with Texas going to see Texas Tech? And that number is the Longhorns laying 6.
Texas absolutely abuses Texas Tech when they're in Austin. When the game's in Lubbock, it's a very difficult spot for the Longhorns. It's a 4.5-point number, and I didn't think Texas Tech played all that bad from a defensive perspective, holding Devin Leary and NC State in check. Front seven is still holding opposing offenses under 100 yards rushing. I like them catching 4.5 points. We'll see what he does with Donovan Smith. He pulled him late in the fourth quarter. As long as Smith starts, I think they can run the football on the front seven of Texas. I like Sir Roderick Thompson and Taj Brooks. I might take the 4.5 and might take Texas Tech as a live dog on the money line.
All right, Joe, I love you. Great stuff today. Always enjoy having you on Coast to Coast, my man. We'll get you back on for sure to talk college football, hopefully on a more regular basis. I love you. Let me go back to Carver High. I want to ask you about a couple games just ahead of the peak, right? Like, we don't even get into it till like Wednesday, right? But ahead of the peak, what do you think of Arkansas going to Kyle Field to take on the Aggies? They got to play Miami and Arkansas back-to-back. At least they're at home.
Yeah, Arkansas had to sweat that game out against Missouri State over the weekend, Scotty. That was a very tough scene for them, but they did come back and get it done. This game, actually, at Jerry's World, they play this Arkansas-Texas game every year at Jerry's World now. Because you know Jerry's got to have his hogs in there.
Once a year, Scott.
He's got to get the hogs in there. Now, Arkansas beat him at Jerry's World last year with KJ Jefferson. I actually kind of like Arkansas this week, Scotty.
Wow, I didn't even know that they do that or that they're playing that game. I remember it now that they played it at Jerry's World, but I thought they were playing at Kyle Field. That changes everything for sure. Wisconsin and Ohio State at the Shoe, and the Buckeyes are laying an 18-piece.
Buckeyes. Lay the 18-piece. I'm down on Wisconsin. I don't think they're very good this year. They lost at home to Washington State. That's enough for me. They're going to get racked in Columbus.
Well, how about USC? They're going to Corvallis.
That's a game that has my eye. Late night, bailout, blowout window in Corvallis. I'm thinking long and hard about taking the Beavers, Scotty, in that game. They have impressed me here so far.
And then Stanford goes to Husky Stadium. They got to deal with Pennix. I think they'll probably get beat.
Huskies, big, big Huskies Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for Ella finish time, the NBA and the players in talks on a new CBA and bringing back the age eligibility to 18. So they don't care. Before long, you'll be 12, you'll play in the NBA. They're getting it down to 18, 16, 14, 12, that's coming. But 18 is the number they're after now. Bronny can play with his dad, right? I mean, that's what that's about. Lakers bringing back Dennis Schroeder. Remember they were going to give him like $80 million? Now they're giving him $2.5 million. Lakers talking to the Jazz about Bogdanovich and others from what I'm hearing. Spain wins the FIBA Euro tournament. Your boy Willie Hernan Gomez wins the MVP. He was the guy in that Adam Sandler movie, Hustle or whatever the hell it was. It was a pretty good flick. Imoni Bates arrested having a gun in his car. I'm sure he'll say it wasn't his, whatever, who knows, but he got popped with a gun in the car. Las Vegas Aces win the WNBA title. Canelo beats Triple G by unanimous decision. Mafia had Canelo by unanimous decision and no knockdowns. The daily double from Mafia. Corey Sandhagen gets a TKO over Song Yadong. We had Sandhagen and Sandhagen by KO, TKO, or sub at plus 350. Mafia rolling in Ben Franklin's. Jose Aldo retires after a legendary career. Man claimed he was Jesus Christ and Satan before cutting his leg off with a saw. I wonder who he is now. Harris County in Texas deputy gets sick after taking drugs he mistook for candy. I used that excuse a couple times with my dad. It didn't go over well. Hurricane Fiona nears the Dominican Republic after pounding Puerto Rico. No one has power in Puerto Rico, Carver High. Stick to the Magic Kingdom. You'll be fine. Newt Gingrich warns of civil breakdown over rising crime in cities. Do people still listen to Newt Gingrich? I mean, Christ. New Orleans overtakes St. Louis as the murder capital of the United States. Ready for a road game down on Bourbon Street? GTD is next. Go to BrawlingEvents.com for in-game play. Check it out. See you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.